This is New England Public Radio News. I'm Kari Njeri. Since buying Northampton's Iron Horse Music Hall in 1995, Eric Schur has built a live music enterprise in Western Massachusetts. His five venues are known collectively as the Iron Horse Entertainment Group, or IHEG. Some of the big names who've crossed IHEG stages have publicly criticized conditions at Schur's venues. Public officials have also fought with Schur over liquor licenses he kept for years on vacant properties. Now, new complaints. Former IHEG employees are coming forward with claims of wage theft and intimidation. New England Public Radio's Ellery Berenger has the story.
Lindsay Muselick was on the job hunt after graduating from Smith College a couple years ago. Her major was American Studies, her focus music and pop culture. Right out of the gate, Muselick found a job in her field, a position at the Northampton box office, IHEG's ticketing headquarters.
Because IHEG is so prevalent and pervasive in the area, I figured that that was kind of the only game in town in order to gain work in the music industry.
Muselick says she liked certain aspects of her job. The office was beautiful, she could walk to work. Occasionally, she would see a band she liked. But after a couple of months, she says she noticed hours missing from her paychecks. Meal breaks she says she never took were being deducted from her pay. Her former coworker, Kylie C., says she noticed the same pattern.
I would get my paycheck and my pay stub back, and there would be half an hour gone from every day. Like, someone, whoever was doing payroll, had to manually go through and deduct the 30 minutes themselves.
C. says she no longer has those records, but Muselick and another former IHEG employee do. We compared their pay stubs and timesheets and saw the missing hours. When they were hired, Muselick and C. say they were not clear about their rights. Most days, there were only one or two people working in the box office, so they figured they couldn't take breaks. They didn't know that, in Massachusetts, workers like them are entitled to a 30-minute meal break, unpaid, for every 6 hours worked. If an employee doesn't take their break, they must be paid, like normal. There are posters that explain all of this and more. Labor law posters. You've probably seen them. State law requires they be posted somewhere prominent in a workplace, like a break room. 10 former employees we spoke to, all but two in recorded interviews, say these posters were nowhere to be found in any IHEG venue or the box office. Here are Cole Payne, Maude Behrens, and Casey Oborowski, all of whom left within the past 2 years.
There was no workers' rights poster at any of the venues. It was just kind of understood that we didn't have any.
At none of Eric's venues is there a poster that tells you, like, your OSHA rights or, like, what minimum wage is or sick leave.
Did you ever see any workers' rights posters or anything like that?
Nothing like that.
We reached out to IHEG owner Eric Schur multiple times for comment, but never heard back. Former box office manager Stevie Pipes says she came to IHEG knowing her rights. She called prior bosses of hers iffy on following the law. So in lieu of posters, Pipes says she printed out her rights from the state's website and hid them where her coworkers, Muselick and C, would know to find them.
I made sure that all of them know, you know, if you guys are here working by yourself and you want to take your break, you lock the door and you can go take your break.
And here's C.
Even after Stevie told me I was allowed to take breaks, I still was afraid to. And I was afraid to use the bathroom because I was worried that Eric would come by when I happened to be out and, like, fire me without saying anything or dock my pay.
Now, nearly everyone's had a boss they didn't get along with, but employee unease about Schur went beyond that. 9 former IHEG workers, including kitchen, front of house, and security staff, say they witnessed or received verbal abuse from Schur. One former employee, who chose to remain anonymous, describes the atmosphere like this. Quote, Schur would just insult you and berate you. A lot of times it wasn't just abusive, it was confusing. You couldn't follow what he was even asking because he was just yelling at you to yell at you, unquote. It makes it difficult to voice workplace concerns when the complaint department is also your boss. Here's Lindsay Muselick and Callie C.
There is no HR department. There is no direct chain of authority or chain of command.
The chain of command is Eric.
Schur was also essentially the payroll department. He distributed everyone's checks himself. 9 former employees say their checks would frequently arrive days or even weeks behind schedule. Graham Hurlbert is the former head of security at IHEG.
I think the hardest part about working for Eric was the the paychecks, sometimes you'd wait, you know, 6 weeks for a paycheck.
Late paychecks are actually illegal. State law says hourly workers must be paid every week or every other week. Cole Payne says that when he was hired to do security at IHEG, it was his first major job out of high school. Like other young employees we spoke to, Payne says he assumed the best of employers. That is, until his paycheck started coming in late.
He would always say, oh yeah, they're in my car, or they're just around the corner. And then when you actually got your hands on them, you could see their issue date was often that day or the day prior. So you'd know that for a couple of weeks he'd been lying and saying that, oh, they're in his car, and oh, he just forgot. But in reality, he hadn't issued them.
Three former security workers we spoke to say they work shifts at every IHEG venue, but each one had its own payroll. Graham Hurlbert says he didn't hold on to his old pay stubs, but altogether, he'd sometimes work way over 40 hours a week.
Say I work 6 hours here and 8 hours there, and those are all separate paychecks, so I would never get overtime.
The overtime rate in Massachusetts is time and a half for all hours worked beyond 40 in a week. Hurlbert, among other employees, says he thought that by divvying up an employee's hours among his different venues, Shure was exploiting a creative legal loophole. That doesn't appear to be so. The state attorney general's office wouldn't speak specifically about IHEG, but says an employer cannot set up separate payrolls for multiple branches of a business in order to avoid paying overtime. Despite the obstacles, three employees say they did end up going to Shure directly, with their rights in hand. Whether it was about breaks, late pay, or overtime, the employees who threatened legal action say they got what they requested going forward. Former IHEG kitchen and bar worker Maude Behrens says he had to use that approach to collect paid sick leave.
During the entire time I worked there, no one had ever taken sick leave. Like, if you were sick, you lost that day's pay.
When Behrens discovered information about paid sick leave online, he says he wished he'd found it sooner. He and his coworkers had worked while sick many times, he says, because they often couldn't afford to take days off.
I found out through doing this research that if you have more than 11 employees, you have to offer paid sick leave. So I asked my manager about this, and he said, no, like, we're too small of a business.
The manager relented, however, when Behrens pointed out the law. Besides Behrens, none of the IHEG employees we spoke to say they knew about paid sick leave. Again, that's the kind of info they would have found on a worker's rights poster.
I could have had that time, and so many other people could have too, and not a single person working for that company knew. And I still am sure they, most of them don't, because that information is not posted.
We checked with the Better Business Bureau, OSHA, and the Attorney General's Fair Labor Division, all organizations which enforce labor laws around wages, safety, and freedom from exploitation. We found no complaints submitted by IHEG employees. It seems that anyone from IHEG seeking legal help went instead to the Pioneer Valley Worker Center, a nonprofit based in Northampton. Co-director Rose Bookbinder is also an organizer for Jobs with Justice, another workers' rights activist group.
Over the years, both the Worker Center and Jobs with Justice have been approached by not only workers, but consumers and musicians. Many of the individuals have initially wanted to pursue some sort of wage claim against IHEG or Eric Suhr, but ultimately have wound up being scared of being blacklisted by him and all of his, you know, different venues.
Bookbinder explained what she meant by blacklisted. Many employees at IHEG who've come to the Workers' Center are also musicians, she says. That was true of at least five people we spoke to. Bookbinder says, given how well-known IHEG is in the area, employees were afraid that if they caused a stir, they might risk future opportunities in the local music scene. Other IHEG employees shared their own reasons for not coming forward until now. Here's Casey Oporowski, Graham Hurlbert, and Stevie Pipes.
I didn't think I could really do anything about it, or that it was different from anyone else's workplace.
I feel bad for not coming forward with complaints sooner. I was dealing with my own stuff, but, you know, I feel bad for not fighting more for my staff and getting them what they deserve. I just feel like I didn't want to lose my job.
I was, quite frankly, a little bit hesitant about saying something initially and having my name attached to this, but honestly, I think that you shouldn't be able to make your employees feel like that for so long and treat people like that for so long and just continue to get away with it.
We reached out to Eric Shure for comment repeatedly, by email, phone, and text. Despite promising to respond, we have not heard back from him or any IHEG representative. For New England Public Radio, I'm Ellery Berenger.